Take out the papers and the trash. Or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yaggedy yak.
Don't talk back.
Just finish cleaning up your room.
Yeah, this is the first crossover in the post Digilabs era.
In the pandemic. Pandemic.
Pandemic. The pandemic. That's the name. Pandemic.
The Pandemic like era.
Pandemic era. That might be the name of this episode for us. the Pandemic. Yo. Shout out to everybody hanging out in the chat. Let's get it started.
Everybody.
So this is
stuff loaded though.
Okay.
But yeah, go ahead.
Get loaded up. Well, I'm like the, you know, we have a, you know, a loose format of what we do, but I have no problem with combining whatever we do. So Neo, you are the link between worlds here. So I'll kind of let you kind of moderate and run things, you know.
This is Derek in your dead ass eyes. I hate you, Derek. Well,
this is like seeing the Power Rangers crossovers. Someone said, "Hey."
Well, I was gonna say, like, the cool thing about you know, doing these crossovers is, again, like, you finally get to interact with Uncle Beak here and get all of his hot takes, and hopefully everybody out there in Twitch land checking us out could follow, you know, at James Vanderbeek, at Cap Man. I mean, Cap Caveman.
Cap Man.
Is that right now, Derek? Cap Caveman that way?
Yes, with a K.
Okay, with a K.
Just making sure.
So that's the thing, right? It's just introducing new friends, and that way you can actually kind of get a feel of the really cool thing about the show format is that when we go live on StreamYard, you can see all those comments, right, boys? And how they're coming through. So it's really interactive
experience. I love it. You guys can all see that, right?
Yes, sir.
So we got folks joining from Facebook, folks joining from Twitch, folks joining from YouTube, from all over the place. Please, if you guys can, the only place we are not broadcasting from is like a steel cage, like,
what up, KG?
Page. So please make sure you are sharing this to your people, letting them know that we are live.
Live.
And we have a fifth joining the party.
Hey! There he is.
A fifth man.
Antique time.
Antique time, as always.
Bringing the title with him.
With the gold.
Sorry, oh, I was over here. I was over here polishing this.
One, two, three, four, fifth.
Lead the BAF.
I was the first person to challenge him for that belt, and I will take it from your ass.
He's going to get rolled up.
Yes.
He's gonna
the get moment rolled we up. All hang out again, oh, it's happening. Like, hardcore rules, wherever we are, is going down.
A referee shirt is getting purchased. Somebody will be wearing it. Teak won't know who.
Yo, we can get Jabron. He has a ref shirt.
Jabron does have a ref shirt.
Yeah, we can hire him.
I'm Check liking that out. As well.
I'm just going to start rolling with a cricket ref in my crew. So.
We need a cricket ref around. He needs a NWO ref.
You know, so it's like one of those refs from like Triple A who's like a heel ref. He just counts slow.
I need see that ref that used back in the day that just is pointed at the ground. He didn't actually get down to actually count. He's just like one, two. Okay.
I need a young Nate in my crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
Young Nate.
Jabron could do it.
Lil Teak.
He'll go for the highest bidder. All right, let's get it started, y'all. All right, the show is going to start right about now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for joining us for a crossover episode. That's right. Pew, 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 pew. Most ambitious crossover in history happening right now in front of your screen. It is Matt Mania X, the Steel Cage podcast, and it's going down for us. This is episode 197 of the Matt Mania podcast, inching ever so close to 200. Two bills. And Derek.
Hello and welcome to episode 440 of the Steel Cage podcast. It's the podcast that will never end. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as the mayor of Reseda. Also, the smartest person on the Steel Cage podcast. I'm allowed to call myself that because the two guys that normally join me owe me $20 based on a bet we made on our predictions for WrestleMania. Right. So to like my this. Left, owing me $20 first, it's the man they call Uncle Beak. It's Jeremy.
Hello, ladies and germs. Man.
Hello, sir.
Are we sure about this count? I think we need a recount. Neil, recount.
I'm pretty sure the only match you got right was Bad Bunny winning. Now to my right is the other guy that owes me $20. It's the Neo X.
Sorry, I spent it on the sweet GMB Grudge Match Band t-shirt.
Money well spent.
Shout out to Grudge Match Band.
Shout out Grudge Match. Yeah. Word. So also in the house, we have the villain fresh off his acquisition of the ECW World Heavyweight Championship. He rolled up Taz in the parking lot. And
he rolled him up in the parking lot.
He did. I'm coming for that FTW title next.
Nice. Yo, so
now I want all the obscure titles. I want the hardcore title also.
Okay. All right. We'll find you a hardcore belt. I was looking for that actually. They didn't have it up when I was at Mania.
Wow.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
Go get your title, Beak.
I'm gonna need to get some gold here.
If we're getting our gold out, I'm just saying we're getting our gold out.
Okay, all right. This is that kind of show, huh?
So you got to upstage us all with the $1 million belt. I see.
Okay. It's a child's $1 million belt. It's for a child.
That's a zillion dollar belt.
Where's your mini belt, Ran? You got a title?
I don't even know. At this point, that would be embarrassing to pull that out in this room. So
no, you got I'm the gonna... UK one. It's dope.
I'm going to leave that where it
just
is.
Just like a rip title.
So it's an honor to be back here to talk about some wrestling with y'all.
It's good.
Fully honest, I just caught up today. I've been a little busy this week in Mexico. Trying to resurrect Triple A.
Booking the territory.
But I was out there getting new chompers. And so these are my new teeth.
Very shiny.
Very first time that I've like had extended conversations in them. So
smelling like a million bucks.
Ding.
So I'm not gonna disclose the deal you got or how much money you paid, but let's just say when we were talking about it, I guffawed at our dental system in this country because I was like, yeah, man, I got like dental work. It cost me like $600. And then you started talking about what you paid and you got a vacation paid along with it, which is just nuts to me, but God bless Mexico. Mm-hmm.
Our dental system leaves a lot to be desired, man. In general, dental work is way too expensive, and not to say that it isn't like, you know, deserved, but you know, there should be a lot more coverage happening in our with our insurance. You agree?
You know what's crazy is like when I took my boys to get root canals, I paid $40.
Wow!
For a root canal in Mexico for a pediatric dentist.
Wow!
And then after that, we got tacos.
Meanwhile, the dude down the street tried to charge me $1,300 for just me. So
I'm going to tell you that.
With insurance, by the way.
Yeah, what I wanted to get done, they were talking somewhere about $20,000.
Here in the States?
In the States, mm-hmm. Yeah. And
without insurance?
This wasn't $20,000, that's for sure.
No more coffee, no more Coca-Cola, nothing to stain them teeth. You better ride them things until they fall off.
I had some Coca-Cola just to test it, and it seemed to be okay.
All right.
When you first sent the picture of your new chompers in the chat, at first I didn't know what you got done. I was like, there's something different about him. But I told somebody, I was like, I'm such a man and not in another man's mouth. Like, yeah. I had to go to your Instagram and look at old pictures of you and then say, oh, that's what it is. He got the veneers.
Right. I had a few people say that too. Like, oh, I never noticed anything about it. I'm like, well, that's okay. I've been living with it for 40 years. So mm-hmm. I've done enough living with it. So it's okay.
Well, another thing that I noticed when I was looking at your pictures though, and to go off the post that you had recently made saying that you had to find your smile. Now I noticed that you didn't teeth smile in a lot of photos. You were doing the closed mouth smile.
Good observation. Yeah, man. So, you know, I've dealt with teeth stuff or mouth stuff for as long as I can remember. And, you know, so it feels very good to close the gap.
Yeah.
And as Owen Hart said, enough is enough. Time for a change. So, man.
You know what? You got to treat yourself. You know, you just got to treat yourself.
And absolutely.
Then, and additionally, it's not only for your health, but I mean, overall, you feel better, more confident. I mean, all of the above, buddy. So
that's right.
New teeth were very beneficial to Roman Reigns. He looked great. Positive.
Yeah.
New teeth.
Look at that. Roman,
right. The new head of the table.
And If Rand out here trying to be a actor now and stuff, you know, he got the new chompers. He can get
that's right.
Get a role in the new hey. Hobbs and Shaw.
Step one, step two, step three. That's what he's going
that's
for.
It. It's teeth and then profit. That's how it goes. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But one thing that is new, we're at a new week of pro wrestling. So there's a lot been going on. But literally fresh off the internet presses, I have to talk about the trash bag heard around the world. We have to just briefly talk about the trash bag. Now, I've been fired from many jobs. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. A few of them were nice enough jobs where I had left things there and they would send me things. So I've gotten a few of those office supply paper boxes. Full of maybe
like the banker box thing, yeah.
Yeah, my trinkets that I've left at a job. I've never had those trinkets returned to me in a trash bag inside of a box with a little note on it that said Mickey, like Mickey James got. And I initially thought, what's the big deal? Like, you're done. You don't want to work there anymore. I mean, they don't want you. Here's your stuff. Mm-hmm. But the presentation, you would think, with a company that's making billion-dollar deals would be a little better. So I don't know. What, Derek, any thoughts on this situation as it progresses?
I was kind of with you on it. I was kind of with you on, like, what do you expect from a company that doesn't even give their independent contractors health insurance, considering the health risks that they put themselves through every single time they perform, right? It doesn't surprise me that they don't care. They've often displayed with their actions that they feel like performers are disposable. So from that aspect, none of it surprises me. It didn't move the needle with me because my needle right now with WWE, as far as the way they treat people, is like, it's on E. It's done, right? But I'll say this much, that I was more surprised by not only them trying to take some sort of accountability with Triple H's tweet about the person who was responsible being fired over this and acting like it was a big disgrace. I was more surprised by, after that coming out, seeing tweets from people, over wrestlers over the years, like Maria Kanellis and others, Gail Kim, who have expressed that their items were returned to them in a similar fashion. This isn't something that just happened. This
they're
isn't something
for the hefty
just
bag,
new.
Though. It's not the cheap bags. These are the hefty.
Well, yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean,
I think they're scented. Those mofos are scented. So.
There's a lot there. And they put her name on it.
Much
on
respect
a sticky
to Triple H for jumping on that as soon as he did and detonating that immediately. Much respect to them for that.
Or at least put it on airs that they did do something about it. That's nice.
Right. As well. They may not have done
it. But it almost felt like a metaphor of what happened last Black Thursday, where it's like, yeah, you know, like, we're going to put all your stuff in trash, and then now you're out of here, tossed out like the trash. You know,
well, yo,
and it's weird because Mark Carano's firing.
In my mind, Triple H just went on Triple H in the back, and he just started flipping shit over and spitting water in people's face.
Who did this? Yeah. This is egregious.
Ripping his suit off and stuff, challenging people to fights and shit.
It was Who did this?
Those were the good sticky notes.
Mark Carano, who was the known talent agent, was let go.
Get fired.
And the talent relations agent, basically the person that they've always said has to do the heavy lifting involving people, wrestlers being let go and all that kind of stuff. And Joe Villa, who's somebody that I knew personally with WWE and I've worked with over the years. He was the person that gave me and the Steel Cage interviews with wrestlers. So it's absolutely like Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful.com reported that at least Joe Villa's firing had nothing to do with this. But it's kind of hard to see how it doesn't, considering
I feel the like time they knew and, right?
And Reach's situation with his tweet.
But it's almost like I felt like they would have known, because there had to be some sort of accountability there. Someone must have saw what was going on, you know. And
imagine if Mickey hadn't said anything though. Like she just like, oh, that's fucked up. I'm not going to make a big deal about it. Like, just tried to be, if she tried to be super professional about it, even though she got all the disrespect.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
They had to do something. Like,
yeah, Gail she brought Kim it up. Said, like you said, Gail Kim said, this has been happening since before I was even there. Is it the same person all the time?
Is it more disrespectful because it was in a bag in a box? What if it was just in the box?
Well, they did buy the box of bags, so they got to go through them. It would be a waste not to use these bags.
It's the fact it's in a trash bag. That's what's disrespectful. It's the trash bag. So,
yeah. Well, I'm just saying, at least in a trash bag, your stuff is more like together. Like if she had loose stuff and you threw it in a box, then it's just like flopping all around.
I'm disagreeing with you. I haven't even had my shit returned to me when I've been fired from a job before. So like, I'm not even like, at least they gave her stuff back, but.
It's like, at least it had her name on it, so she knew she was getting her shit. Like, they had a system.
It's another example of black WWE bag, being
green
this
tape, black marker. It'd
be great if they spelled her name wrong, even too. Like, M-I-C-K-Y.
M-O-U-S-E.
Mackie
James, J-A-I-M-S.
Yeah. Oh. Now, if that tape has her name on it and that's not her shit in the bag, then we fire people.
Or more importantly, if it's Randy Orton shit in the bag, then you're
literal.
Randy packaged all of these.
So, as my aunt used to always say, the devil don't need no advocate. But shout out to Drizzen, who said, I'm going to play devil's advocate. If one dude has been handling this job for years and no one spoke up, it's not overly surprising that it's been happening year over year.
Right.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, that goes back to Gail Kim, or not Gail Kim, but is Mickey James unprofessional for putting this out there? I don't think so, because I think it's a really shitty way to treat talent, you know? So I think she's just kind of highlighting it on her way out. Like, hey, by the way, this is how they treated me on my way out.
Probably the last time it happens, right? I mean, for the most part, you imagine. Otherwise, they're just totally ignorant, just don't give a damn whatsoever.
You have to speak up, and sometimes it's shitty when you're the person that speaks up. Sometimes you're the one that kind of gets the flack for it and gets the criticism. But if you are the person that inspires change and causes things to be better for at least the next round of people that get fired next year, then hey.
Sometimes it matters what type of relationship you plan on having with that company afterwards. So if the way they fired her, which I heard she didn't even know she was getting released, you know, was like, well, fuck those dudes, then I don't think she's unprofessional I just told somebody earlier, if you left the job on bad terms, every time you drove past that job, you'd say, fuck that job. So, I don't blame her.
It's true. I say fuck that job about jobs I didn't even have a bad experience with.
Right. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I hated that place. Like, so Mickey James is arguably a Hall of Famer and someone who I think will come back at some point, whether it's for Hall of Fame or something else. So do you think she should have thought about that before she said anything? Or I don't think she cared at all.
Do you think that's her metaphorically trying to burn a bridge there, though?
No bridge is ever fully burnt.
Yeah, especially in wrestling with Vince. If he can make money, he's going to say, all right, no.
Vince doesn't take anything personal. But her tagging him, I'm like, it's a little bit crazy.
She's like, hey, Vince, check this crap out.
You going to at me, bro?
And maybe
she went
because
for it.
She
went for it.
She went for it. Like, I'm going to at the boss.
Yeah.
And he doesn't check Twitter. Like, he doesn't care. I don't know. But I thought that
some assistant's going to tell him, Vince, we got this tweet from, I think it's Mickey James.
I mean, somehow that shit got Who's forwarded that? To Triple H real quick. I think Triple H is checking Vince's tweets.
There you go.
Either that or he's got a call from him.
Be funny to see somebody release a tweet like, I got all my stuff nice pressed and folded. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Right. Like, no one said that. Like, I didn't see anybody being like, wait, but they didn't dry clean your ring gear?
Yeah.
Here's actually what I will say is I think in the modern day where WWE wants to do so much to rebound from things like this, I think Mickey's actually ensured that she'll be back sooner than later. I think that they'll welcome her back almost as an apology due to this. I don't think she'll be like scorned and, you know, kept away because of, I don't think she'll miss future opportunities, basically.
Yeah, but knowing WWE, they'll bring her back in some sort of trash bag gimmick.
Sure.
Yo, shout out to my buddy Tony, who was like, oh, now we need to bring her back for SummerSlam and have a trash bag on a pole match or something.
She's gonna ride in on the back of a trash truck.
Trash truck.
Dude, the dumpster Josie is gonna be with her.
Her new gimmick is gonna be like, "Hey, women can be trash men too."
Yeah,
you didn't know that.
Oh God!
They back out the same dumpster that they dumped Eric Bischoff in, right? She can be on the back of it. That's how she comes down.
Now I want to watch Men at Work with Emilio Estevez.
Yes, of course you do.
Oh, Emilio! Classic, classic. Yeah, the super duper fly outfit from Missy Elliott.
Oh, oh my God, that's good. That's good.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's like I said in our chat, it didn't fully surprise me, or I guess shouldn't, when, you know, we know all the things that they've been through, and it's so hard, man. When my friends who don't really watch wrestling find out about stuff like this, and they're like, "Hey, man, did you hear that? Like, WWE doesn't like treat their like employees well." And I'm like, first of all, they're independent contractors, and like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, I have to defend this. Like,
you're gonna get billed for the bag. Yeah, you know what was crazy was when I heard Andrew Yang and, you know, what's his name from the Late Show talk about like how the WWE does all this stuff and now how it's becoming to the forefront. You know, it's terrible. You know, some of the stuff that they do go through. I know the trash bag thing is a minute thing, but man, they go through so much and they don't get a lot out of it. And the fact that they had all their stuff kind of taken away from them, something's got to change. Just like, you know, something's got to go. John
That's
Oliver.
What happens when, there's a, that's what happens when Absolutely. Things are a monopoly and one person is running.
For sure.
And that's why we're happy that AEW is doing well, or at least that there's an alternative at this point. Like, I think a lot of people have to understand it's not even about like this allegiance and brand loyalty or anything like that. It's just the desire, for at least for me, for competition. Yeah. Like, I just want to see competition. I need these people to have alternatives. You know what I mean?
This is the best time ever for wrestling with as many televised options that we have. I just saw that MLW got a deal with Vice. So they're going to be on Vice TV now.
Yep. And remember, that's New cool. Japan is on like on the Roku channel.
Yeah,
man. I mean, you're talking like all these
Impact on TV, wrestling like
IWTV ads. It's just more accessible than ever. And it's more accessible to find alternatives. AEW and, you know, obviously Impact are working together now, which is really cool. AEW is just offering different shit. You know, like I was catching up on last couple of episodes of AEW with my wife, and she had to bring up how much she loved Sue and, you know, Trent and it being his mom and the kiss and that whole, you know, the arcade Trent. Fight with Trent coming back. I will say that AEW at the very least offers, you know, something different, something a little bit unique at times, especially compared to WWE. WWE at times can be very, you know, boring. Let's be honest. This was like the worst post WrestleMania possible period ever, as far as like how impactful those episodes after WrestleMania.
I'll just say it. AEW's just better. I said it. Well, shit at me.
Oh, shit. What you gotta wrap your mind around is that Raw is for casual fans and SmackDown is for the people who want to watch wrestling. Mm-hmm. So, because shows are way
bullshit. They're because totally casual fans watch Raw and they think it's crap. I've had people that watch it that don't even watch wrestling and they're like, "This is boring. I'm not interested in this."
Yeah, I don't think casual fans want a 3-hour show. Like, right. So I don't know about that.
No, the best thing about all these shows. You don't have to watch a show for 3 hours to get ratings. It's where they put stuff on the show. It's how they do all of the backstage, more talking, more segments, more talk show stuff. Because for the people who are casual wrestling fans, hey, but I like talk shows. They got this little Alexa Bliss talk segment. Like, you don't get all of that stuff.
Yeah, but if you're a new person looking at that and you know none of the context, you're going to get lost.
Yeah. If anybody is sinking their teeth in and sticking around because of Alexa Bliss on her damn playground, I'm like, hey, you don't like wrestling.
Hey,
you
it's my 10-year-old daughter, and she doesn't like wrestling, and she's sticking around because her name's Lily, and so is the creepy fucking doll.
There you go.
That was pretty good.
There you go.
But the best part about all the companies is now there's less possibility that Vince is just going to gobble up all the talent. Like, they've been hoarding all the damn talent for the last couple of years, and you see they end up purging these mass amount of guys who are plenty talented. And Samoa Joe, I mean, come on, you guys. It's ridiculous.
Here's the thing. Here's what I find to be amazing in the modern-day WWE world is that Imperium is the longest reigning faction and the most powerful faction now in, like, WWE, right? Mm-hmm. Because who else has been around longer than Imperium? Who has – I don't know. I mean – and like it's kind of like with NXT for me, the best storyline.
Nope.
Cameron Grimes. I love Cameron Grimes. So a lot of the best things maybe the WWE New Day right now is, for me is in NXT.
New Day, perhaps.
New
but
Day,
but they've kind of splintered also, which is kind of sucky.
Sure, and I guess that's why I don't consider them to be that anymore. You know, like they do. They haven't broken up, right? So they're still together, but. I think this lack of commitment to certain things and always needing to change. I think the recent releases were really disheartening. The release of the Iconics really broke my heart. Samoa Joe really broke my heart. Like it for me, it makes it hard to keep coming back to this company, especially when they keep dumping talent like Rusev and the Iconics and, you know, people that you just don't quite understand what exactly caused.
And people who actually got over, they actually like legitimately got over. Like Rusev, huge Rusev day. Billie Kay, even when they put her by herself with that damn resume, her resume got over. Like the girl is talented and entertaining, and they just it's
whatever she does is fun, right?
So you're telling me in the climate of WWE where they're like hurting for Raw or for women's tag team, you let go of like one of the best women's tag team to have ever done it.
Right. You break them up and then you
when they let them go, they weren't a tag team. So
yeah, they break them up first
and they let go singles wrestlers.
I think they assumed they both would flounder instantly, and Billie Kay actually did something like begrudgingly, I guess we still got to get rid of this girl.
Well, even Peyton, when she cut that scathing promo on Raw Talk, like I had stake in her after that promo personally. I thought that was going to probably help her, you know, turn a different stone in the company. Nope. And why is Naomi fighting Shayna Baszler when we just seen this?
WrestleMania Backlash. It's all backlash
you've seen before.
Backlash. Everything is backlash in between WrestleMania and WrestleMania Backlash.
I do have to slightly agree with Drizzen. I know that we're all on the same page here, but slow down on calling the Iconics one of the best to ever do it. I mean, they're great.
But hear me out. Think about how many people have been the tag team title holders.
The women tag team title? Yeah. So they were first.
Not many.
They were first.
Not many.
And then there was, like four teams.
Yeah. Also, if we're going the best to ever hold that tag team title, like that specific nation.
Okay. Tag team title.
Okay.
Very
short amount of time. I'm just saying.
Back the fuck up, Drizzen.
Okay. Small sample size. It's a small sample size. I'll just say this, though.
They're the greatest ever do it on a Tuesday around 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
They probably were the best champions out of the
top,
four.
They're at least the top five.
But, top five and not five. All right, I like it.
But okay, again, for me, one of the
I
best.
Mean, are they
WrestleMania
beating? Are they
moments?
Beating Nia and Shayna? No.
I mean, they were more entertaining. Like people could say.
Exactly. For me, one of the best post-WrestleMania moments involved the women, but it, again, was on NXT, when all of the women's champions that were former NXT wrestlers showed up, and they had their moment. They all hugged. They all, you know...
Heartwarming.
It was a great moment. It was heartwarming. I guess you could say it broke kayfabe, whatever, but it was cool as shit. It was something that, again, I never felt like... I don't feel like Raw or SmackDown delivered with their... post WrestleMania shows in any way. SmackDown did give Bianca her moment, so that was cool. Like, I'm not saying they didn't, but what they did on NXT was just dope.
Yeah,
exactly.
I like to see that. So let's talk about it. We really don't have to go through Raw, but
no, let's just.
There's
not.
One thing that happened though, and I don't know if it was good, but it happened. Okay, so the team of T-Bar and Mace were unmasked on this show.
I mean, at least we know that they're not with the Hurt Business. That was a good thing.
We don't know that yet.
We still don't know
that yet.
We still don't
know. Man, they walked right past them. I doubt that they're...
It could be a ruse.
They're getting paid under the table. The shit
okay,
is
so
right.
Here's what I didn't see, and maybe you could tell me, because I watched it on mute for reasons. so
yeah, this is a wrestling podcast.
I watched it. What else you want from me? All right, so...
He's not required to listen to the show.
Did the commentary refer to them as Dio Madden and
no,
Djokovic?
Nope.
They didn't know who these guys were.
Never seen these men before.
Dio was a former commentator on the damn show.
Yo, he worked here. He literally worked here.
Yeah.
You didn't know.
I'm glad you said T-Bar and Mace.
Chair.
When you say Mason T-Bar, it sounds like one guy named Mason T-Bar. Hi, I'm Mason T-Bar.
Mason T-Bar.
Gentlemen.
So,
I mean, that at your service? Be a better at name than Mason or T-Bar. Mason
so
T-Bar.
Mason T-Bar. Okay. that might be the name of the episode.
That's it.
Okay, right, another thing that happened. When I search WWE News right now, I love how they really tried to make this seem like a real thing. The top result is Charlotte fined by WWE.
And I'm like,
okay. They're like trying to really make you believe it.
What was the dollar amount? What was the dollar amount?
They should make it like 100 grand or something like that.
I think it's like 100 grand.
Why not kick that ref ass?
A bazillion didgeridoo dollars. Why not?
McMahon dollars.
She's going to show up next week with a beer truck and start spraying it everywhere. She's going to be the new Stone Cold.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
But you know what's funny is, like, she was quote-unquote suspended, and guess what? She just went down to Mexico to get dental work, too, you know? So why not?
She was not welcomed. She was not welcomed at WrestleMania, sir. And don't fucking say that, because she will go off on you like she did on Dave Meltzer. So watch your ass.
That's a hilarious storyline, by the way. Like, they don't want her on the show.
Get to work the same place you did.
Right?
Maybe. I mean, if she's going to Supreme Dental, I don't know. They gave me the Instagram discount. So
what is going on here?
Hey, I got an Instagram discount. So because I'm an influencer.
Oh.
Oh, wow. So holler at me, Charlotte. I know some people. Holler at me.
Rand's blue check is getting his teeth fixed. Look at that.
Hey, that's right. So that's about it from Raw, to be honest. We can move on, because actually, okay,
that really is it. That really is it.
I mean, Riddle beat Orton. Is anybody?
Riddle's character?
Yeah.
What is his character? I saw somebody compare him to the annoying kid that sits in the front seat in the Home Alone movie next to the next to the driver that's taking him to the airport. And I couldn't have seen a more accurate description. Like, holy shit, I don't know what they're doing with him.
All I need from Matt Riddle right now is I need WWE. Shit, I don't know if they can now since they sold everything to Peacock. But they would have needed to do an original show with Matt Riddle and RVD. Like, dude, where's my car? Did you see the Instagram clip of them?
Oh, no. No.
Throwing down. Like
Riddle was way excited to see RVD. Like, way excited.
Yeah, I bet.
If he hasn't got like a scooter sponsorship by now, like he's got to get a scooter sponsorship.
What's the point? Like, why aren't there WWE scooters at my local Target?
More importantly, why are there pigeons coming out of his shoes when he kicks them off and not peacocks? I mean, that's like the obvious thing that should be.
Remember when they put the pirate hat on him?
Oh, I hate everything about him. Oh, so much. He's so bad. And you know what's funny? I called this shot a long time ago on the Steel Cage because from the minute he debuted on NXT, I was like, oh, Vince is going to fucking love this guy. Like, he's going to love him because he is everything Vince wants in a babyface star.
He's a stallion.
That he could put everything behind. Absolutely, right? He's that stupid, you know, teenage level of humor. You know,
I think Vince is making fun of him, is what I think is happening.
I don't know, though. He just beat Randy Orton. So
he beat Randy Orton.
On him, I guess.
Last guy they did that with was
Matt Riddle was like Reefer Madness to Vince McMahon. He looks at that guy and he's like, these damn hippies.
Just go out there being as stupid as fuck. We don't care. That's all he is, dude. He's the goofiest motherfucker, like stream of consciousness bullshit.
The goofy guy. It's weird. All right, so we can move on. NXT, did you guys manage to catch that this week?
Yes,
sir.
All right, so Kyle O'Reilly. Is this guy always...
You mean Orange Cassidy Light?
No.
Was this always cool Kyle? In him? Like, okay, I didn't know him from the indies, but like, is
cool
this,
Kyle.
Was this his thing?
He's always had that goofy side from PWG. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah.
Has he always played the title belt that he held like a guitar when he came out? Yes, he always has.
He used to be Sleazy Kyle.
Yeah. Sleazy Kyle. O'Reilly. That's how you got to chant it.
Kyle. That's what we call him.
Okay. Tempico. I don't know, man.
Tang Cassidy.
Tang, there you go.
Yo, Sunny D Cassidy.
I do not like these accusations.
Not purple stuff, bit. The Sunny D.
Nah, Tang Riley.
All right. I felt like, all right, this is a little. I wasn't really into it, but you know, if it works for him,
it was funny banter though between he and what's his name, Cameron Grimes. Yeah, you know, he's talking about, hey man, I really like them stonks. Your stonks are stonking, stonk, stonk, stonk. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then
stonks
all of a sudden,
to the moon, Dogecoin stonks, GameStop stonks.
So it's like super insider kind of stuff. And then you know, come to find out they pops him in the face. Come on,
he's got to find a way to wash that Undisputed Era stench off of him. So he's just trying to find himself.
Yeah, trying to find yourself in outside of that. But yeah, like I get it. It's a reinvention, so it'll be
like
some,
new
be
song, new gear, everything. Like he had is totally different now, so he can't just, come.
It's just so hard because Undisputed Era was so dominating.
Coming out of such a iconic group, it's hard.
Yeah, like it resonates with everybody.
Right, so how do you come out and not have that chip on your shoulder, like, attitude? So, I mean, him being
goes with it. You guys are acting like Kyle O'Reilly didn't show up as like an old man at one point and hasn't been playing the tag team championships like a fucking guitar this whole time. This has been him. Like, this is just him being himself on his own, and I think it's him like just doing what he wants to do. NXT is still viewed as a developmental brand, whether it's not anymore or it is. It's still them trying stuff to see how it works. Yeah. You know, and I think that he's shown a lot of potential
for what they want
him to be, right? Like I think especially the match was fire, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Cameron Grimes at times kind of he kind of frustrated me because Kyle Riley was really kicking him really hard, and he was really going as hard as he's gone against some of these guys. And Cameron Grimes was just coming with some light ass shit. And at times, I don't know. I don't know if it's just the like WWE way that's kind of
I think it
made
is.
made him kind of lighten up.
I think it is.
I just in PWG, I saw Trevor Lee hit the shit out of people. So like
he would fucking slap a guy. He'd slap the fuck
out of people. So like from that perspective, it's kind of weird to see him be the light hitting guy now. But that's kind of WWE system. I'm more frustrated with the fact that Cameron Grimes' character is so great and that they haven't like just gone all in on it, like full on JBL. Like, why isn't there a limousine bringing this guy out to the ring?
Yes,
why
isn't that's he what throwing I want.
Money into the crowd? Why?
That's like, what I want.
I want.
I did enjoy him bringing up NFTs. He's like, I was trying to get this NFT.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Really
mad like that he missed out on the Undertaker NFT for $100,000. By the way, is what it sold for.
Well, apparently he's been
$100,000.
Apparently he's been outbid on a couple of stuff, or maybe it was an NFT by the $1 Million Man.
Yeah,
it was. Right. So now Cameron Grimes is in a feud with the $1 Million Man.
Yeah. What better person for him to be in a feud
That's
with?
It's a perfect feud. Yeah.
It's great.
I love it. What Keep else it going. We get? We get Frankie Monet interrupting Io Shirai.
Frankie Muniz, he wrestling now?
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep. Yeah.
Wrong.
Totally.
Malcolm in the mid card.
Malcolm in the mid-card. I like it. The former Taya Valkyrie.
This is Io.
I think this is a great money match at some point. I would love to see it. I don't know. I think the promo segment didn't go super well, but I don't know. Like I don't watch a whole lot of NXT, but I always feel like Io Shirai is more believable to me and a better kind of promo when she's speaking in Japanese. And so I feel
her work.
Let it go like naturally. Don't force. Mm-hmm. I feel like they shouldn't be forcing her to do these in English. But what do you think?
I'm going to say this. I love dogs, and I fucking hate that she has the dog with her just because you can tell how distracting and shit that it's a dog.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to get a
unpredictable animal right
in front of a goddamn crowd and shit. Like, oh my God, I'm just sitting there the whole time going,
Kilda,
what a puppy. Nightmare for this dog. And oh my God, just you can deliver this so much better if you weren't worried about the dog.
Right.
Hopefully Big Boss Man doesn't show up to eat this dog, man.
Oh, okay. Hey. If Matilda could do a dark side of the ring, it would be terrible.
Oh my gosh, they were so bad to that dog. Let me
talk about what they used to do to that poor dog. Oh my God.
Don't forget about the monkey, you guys.
Hey, sorry.
Like, I didn't mean to bring it up.
That's non-crossover episodes. Don't bring New Japan shit into this. He's gonna bring up Shingo at some point. So,
well, let me ask you this: do you guys feel like Io Shirai? Like, would it be more beneficial for her to kind of be off television for a little bit to kind of give a little bit more time for Frankie Monet to, you know, find herself in the women's division, or do you think?
I think she was gonna go. That's where they were teasing. Like, she actually was gonna step away, but she's like, you know what? I am too irritated by this woman. I have to stick around and whoop her ass. I think that's the way they're going to end up going. Yeah. But you're right. Maybe she's otherwise, was she going to go learn a new hold?
Well, they just debuted, what's her name? Sarah?
Sarah.
She's Sarah. Man, yeah, she's Sarai. So damn good.
She's and, really dope.
Yeah. She had a very good debut. Yeah, mm-hmm. like nothing to take away from her. But I feel like it would be great if Io did kind of just take a step away. Nothing against her, obviously. But I mean, I think it's the same. It's the same thing. Like, you don't know what you got until it's gone. I think she should take a break and let some more talent kind of flourish. And that way she has more credible competition, you know, because
Monet is going to take her out to have her take the, you know, step away, you know what I mean?
Like, and then that could move her into the title picture, she kicked shit up with Raquel on her first night out, so it's not like this interaction with Io Shirai is the only interaction that she's having, right? She's
I guess I just wanted
introducing herself,
Yeah, and I guess I just wanted something to go against the grain instead of like injuring her or whatever. Like, just let her have a good send off and let her earn her break and have her come back and just beat the shit out of everybody come down the road.
Here's the thing. We want things to go against the grain all the time, but unfortunately they don't. They just go along with the same kind of storylines.
Sorry for suspending my disbelief.
No, I know. I mean, there's a lot of things to like.
Something interesting to happen, damn it.
Not over here.
No.
At least until they move some women along or do what they're going to do next. Their claim about NXT's women's division being, you know, the best in pro wrestling is a pretty valid claim.
Oh yeah,
I will say. I think so. Like, I like Zoe Stark a lot, who's a new star that they're kind of trying to rise, and I think that they've done a good job with her. I think that the women's division
had her step up for Saray. That was awesome.
It was dope. And I mean, in general, she's like one of their stars that they've made, right? She's not somebody that they brought in from the outside, like a lot of the women in their division. Yeah. But they also have some pretty interesting stories going on. Like, I love what they have going on with The Way and Candace and Indy Hartwell and her obsession with Dexter. Oh, and Papa John.
Papa John.
I love it when you call me Big Papa John.
I love how they leaned into Austin Theory just being a big, goofy, dumb jock. It's
He's
like
such a dumbass.
Hilarious.
But it's perfect. Yeah.
Stupid, dumb animal.
Right. All right. So overall, I think a really good show. I felt like Imperium as the main event wasn't necessarily the highlight of the show because they just kind of squashed. But you know, I'm always happy to see Imperium in action.
Hey,
but
that's what you get from one of the longest factions in the business.
That's true. And I think, you know, sometimes you got to just let them know what they do.
They're talking about expanding. I think they're going to add a new member. I think it might end up being Thatcher.
Yes.
That's my speculation.
Oh, what a crazy idea there.
That would be dope.
But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things with Imperium that I like. And Walter has been booked as the best fucking pro wrestler in almost all WWE.
He's like the new Undertaker.
He's really
super strong.
And he comes on to NXT, just shows up and just fucks people up and then leaves. And like, it's just great. I love him so much. Like, they've booked Imperium in a real way, in a subtle way, right? It's not even like UE where the Undisputed Era were like running over people constantly and just the big story and the main like focus on NXT constantly. Imperium just kind of comes in, does their thing, has their run-ins with people who they don't like, and kind of steamrolls
up and just takes off.
Well, and that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, you always make the comparison, right? Be like, oh, like this guy in NXT, blah blah blah, or this tag team in NXT is blah blah blah. But then you always got to go like, have you beat a Walter? That's the thing.
A long time Imperium wasn't there because they couldn't travel. So.
But that
really say
that adds that to the layer of
that they definitely adds that mystique because now that they're here, they are.
We got to show that they're dominant. So I mean,
you got your fedora on, COVID protocols. You know, they couldn't travel, but boy, I like the fact like if they can take something like that and just make it layer on top of that, where like you know what, Imperium only comes out when they need to come out.
Well, Walter spoke on that because Walter said that he feels like he needs to defend his title more. To make up for the time that he was not able to.
I can see that.
I would like to see more, but I also like them coming sparingly and just wrecking shop. Like
he's an actual attraction. They're the next
are a special attraction. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Walter is an attraction.
And all right, let's move on. I'm sorry. Last thing. Kushida versus Oni.
Kushida and fire.
Dude, that match was like,
it was fire.
Everything, dude, that match was fire.
I thought that should have been the main event, but
that should have been the main event.
I felt after that match, I was like, oh, okay, like this is great, great, great match for sure.
I hate how easy it is for a face to get over with me by doing an open challenge, but that's all they need to do.
Bold. Yeah,
you do open challenges. I'm like, yes, I'm on board, even with Sheamus doing them and then beating the shit out of Humberto.
I like his twist on the open challenge. Sheamus being like, yeah, open challenge. Nah,
except for you, I'm gonna beat the fuck out of you when you come out here. And you ain't
this is not a match, I'm just gonna whoop you.
Like, I don't want to like see that. My poor homie Humberto, poor guy,
man. I was sad about that too. They bring him back, he's got a new look, he looked like $1 million,
and they murdered
him. And they just murdered him.
They claim over big on commentary too. He's coming down. They're like,
yeah,
race of the guards of family, and then plow.
Done. You know what's
just getting is,
you know what, it's because like they'll tell wrestlers that, yeah, you know, go get big or go get some definition, work on your look, blah blah blah, and then he comes back, so you do everything right just to get your just to get a bro kick. I mean, yeah. come on
yeah. Well, you know, it's why wrestling is arguably the most challenging sport. Yeah, it's a suggestion. It's
I
not
feel
a
like
guarantee.
I gotta yeah I feel like I just gotta start TV. Watching main event just to be happy with WWE.
It got TV time, you know, like.
Right. What you want him to do, Neo?
Get out of here with
you want
that.
Him to eat, or you want him to starve?
Like, I'd rather him starve.
We ain't got no program for you. Right now.
He'd still be in catering.
He's still in catering. His pride, though. His family can't eat his pride.
There you go.
We ain't got no story for you right now, but you can go in the ring and eat this bro kick. What you want to do?
That's pride fucking with you.
You want to eat? You want to eat your chicken breast, or you want to eat this foot in the mouth?
Yeah. Either way, you're eating.
Why not both?
I wanted to take a step back because I know you guys probably talked about it on Matt Mania, but what are your guys' thoughts on the change as far as commentary goes? It seems really weird because apparently it's Tom weird. Phillips has been demoted kind of to 205 Live. He has other job titles, so it seems like it might be just a factor that he has too much off-screen responsibilities because he seems to be involved with talent relations and things like that. But yeah, he's been removed from Raw, which I thought Tom Phillips was doing a fine job.
I thought he was good. This baseball guy, I mean, I think he's got, you know, some growing pains that he's going to get through.
I mean, how the hell do you go from look, I cover baseball.
That's weird.
How do you go from baseball, the slowest game in America, to, you know, calling Raw, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't even understand it. I the only thing I can get it from is that he's a real sportscaster, so yeah. It lends
it has
legitimacy.
A sports sound, yeah.
He gives sure. it a sports sound, yeah, for sure.
I'm all for the guy, like, giving him the benefit of the doubt.
He needs to memorize some shit because he's saying shit wrong.
He's got to get
it.
There's
a huge learning
yeah.
curve, man. There's a huge learning curve.
It's
he's
very
now
difficult. I can only imagine
Vince
how hard
McMahon
it is.
Yelling at him while he's trying right? to call this stuff he's never called before.
It's, nobody's yeah, yeah. ever, like, never I think few that. People have worked a job where someone is yelling at them in their headset, like,
it's called a medical facility.
It's the Viking experience. You
call it a box like structure, damn it. Get it right.
Who's
it's
worse,
a title.
Though?
He said,
who's worse? That guy now or JR now? Who's worse?
No. JR now is way worse. Like, my wife yeah. and I said at one point,
oh, while you guys...
watching commentary, that JR just trailed off as he was talking.
Like, JR like, said,
yeah, he said,
when the two women were fighting, he's like, they're going a mano. I don't know if that's correct or not, because he didn't know that mano a mano meant hand to hand, not man to man. He tried to protect himself from offending people. Simply because he didn't know what he was saying.
JR. He literally translated it in his mind. He's like, oh, you mean mano? Like a mano?
Yeah.
A mano.
I was like, oh my God, what an idiot.
A mano. Woman on woman.
Yeah, woman on woman, Excalibur. Mano. That's what I meant.
God,
I could get mad at me on the internet, Tony.
Every week there's a JR-ism.
On the flip side, we have Pat McAfee joining SmackDown. Like, first of all, Cole and Corey Graves were just the best together. I don't know why, but I loved their chemistry. I loved everything about it. I know it's going to take some time for McAfee to kind sure. of, you know, get adjusted to it.
And he kind of has like a talking show, so that it kind of gives him a little clout, but it's still different.
And I know what they're trying to do, right? Like, they're definitely trying to bring
that
in
dude, because he took Samoa Joe's job, so fuck him. Even if it's on a different show, they got rid of one announcer and then they brought him on. Fuck him.
I don't know, right now. I assume Joe was, you know, getting paid a wrestler salary, and they were like, "Yeah, we don't know. So how about we give you this announcer salary?" And he's like, I don't know, and we all were like, hooray, I don't like that.
Not anymore. He's gonna be wrestling, and then sadly, we were mistaken.
I'm like, just kidding, yo, Joe. Yeah.
I just
commentated in the rain for y'all.
Byron Saxton, now who's gonna protect Byron? You know, it's not Corey Graves. He ain't gonna do shit.
Oh, right.
My God.
Yeah. Poor Joe. All right, let's go to AEW, if everybody's okay with that. Neo, is it okay if I move forward?
No, Neo, come on. Come on.
I don't know. It's stopping me a lot. All right, so let's move forward. So here we go. We got AEW Dynamite going down. A couple things I want to point out. We get first match I think was decent. We got Adam Page and Ricky Starks. I thought it was good. I guess I need to watch more Dark because I never see Team Taz get a win ever. So
yeah, they're not poised to be like, if you want to put your fedora on, they're not poised to be like the
dominant heel faction. Yeah,
they're just like, you know, good. They're good talent, but they've been positioned very well. I'll tell you what.
They're just bumbling around right now because they got inner turmoil amongst their group.
Exactly. There it is. Ever since Brian Cage came out and told Sting he respected him and told Darby he respected him, everybody else in the group has had feelings. And that's essentially the story they're telling here is the eventual not the split of the entire group, but Brian Cage leaving the group. You know, he's a huge star, man. To be honest, their group has always kind of been ridiculous because they have all of this power, all of this talent, and yet they lose to little ass Darby Allin.
They lose to the little guys. Yeah.
But I'm sorry, though, those matches that Darby has had, like, they tell the tale of the underdog very well. You know?
They're awesome. I mean, you know what it reminds me of is like WWE always has told those stories, right? Like Leon Ruff, Colin Delaney, Zach Gowen, right? But they never had the ending where that guy gets on top, with the exception of like maybe Daniel Bryan, right? Like,
right.
They just always have those underdog stories, but then those guys just get the shit beat out of them by somebody that they really want to put over as a real diabolical, mean, evil heel instead of those guys having their moment. I feel like that's the big difference with Darby. Darby's the guy that gets over. He wins against those guys. He makes you believe in the whole, like, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog.
And that's very different from what we've been taught in wrestling. It's like the underdog usually just loses. So now
it reminds me of like 1-2-3 Kid back in the day.
Yeah. But it's not him pulling victory from the jaws of defeat. It's like him risking his life and limb to win. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm going to just say it. I'm not fully into Darby beating guys who I think, like, cutting off guys that I think have an upward trajectory.
Like, let me give you for instance.
I like the storytelling that they tell.
Cage, he went up against John Silver. And
Silver. And Scorpio the entire Sky.
Like, the entire, you know.
I was upset, man.
Dark really Order was out there. And there was this moment where he does the coffin drop on them. And they're not even doing anything. They're just ringside. He just decides, Darby out of nowhere, to do the coffin drop on the entire group and just take out the whole Dark Order.
So he takes out John Silver.
He's a strange enigma, Derek.
And then he goes in and then he wins the match. And I'm just like, that should have been where he fucked up because he went too hard in the paint. And he needed to take out the whole group.
His mistakes are never, he never has to pay for his mistakes.
This is the thing with Darby Allin.
The mistakes win for them.
Every time I've seen him wrestle, I always think, yep, he's going to lose it. He's going to lose it. He's going to lose it. And guess what? He wins it. I was legitimately LOL, upset.
Darby wins.
Yeah. I was legitimately upset when he beat Jungle Boy on the most recent episode because he has a special roll-up called The Last Supper. And when I saw the roll-up, I'm like, oh, shit, that looks pretty legit. So I love and hate the guy, you know, but what are you going to do? I still think he turns out fantastic matches. So
he does. Hey,
they created an actual star with the guy. I mean,
people are actually
interested in him.
Him, John Silver, and Adam Page are the guys that, to be honest, have like just had an incredible rise in this company. And John Silver and Adam Page have legitimately done it with their, like, I don't know, with their, humor.
You wait a second there, Cat, because you didn't mention Powerhouse Hobbs.
Don't you forget about him.
I didn't mention him for a reason.
It's hard to remember people when they lose so much, you know?
Right, exactly. And hasn't really talked on the mic a lot.
I'm sorry, though.
He hasn't proven himself to be a star.
I hate that.
Hobbs signs. I see John Silver signs peppering the entire audience. I know Adam Page is hands down one of the biggest stars that they've created. Like, I hated Adam Page before AEW even existed, and I love Adam Page now.
Oh, when he was just a Bullet Club member, he wasn't shit.
Yeah, he wasn't shit, except the guy that allegedly had a large penis. That's all I knew him for being.
Yeah, big wow. No, I didn't like him because he used to wear that noose around his neck.
Oh, yeah.
That, like too. That, too. I didn't like that either, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I kick it around all the time to friends and chats.
He's like also pro horse. Sorry.
Of who's the next guy, like, up? Who's the next, in your opinion, if you could pick who you think the next AEW champion will be, like, after Kenny? And
nobody.
A lot of folks say they think, you know, Adam Page is next up, you know? So I just want to kind of go around the room. Do you guys feel like Adam Page is a legit guy you could see holding that title right now? Or if not him, then who?
Yes. I personally think it's going to be MJF next. I think that just based on the Pinnacle group, I think that the one thing that the group needs is to get a bunch of belts. And that's the thing that's going to legitimize them. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. I think Kenny's run as being this belt collector is going to last. I think he's going to beat Rich Swann. Hmm. I wouldn't be surprised to see him even go to New Japan and get that belt. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. The Forbidden Door is open. And everybody can see what's potentially going to happen, right? So I don't think it's immediate, but I do think that MJF could really be, the next guy to hold it.
I can see that.
And I think that's just the missing factor is the gold.
Do you think they actually move past Jericho, or is that just going to be a long-term thing we're going to be dealing with for a very long period of time?
No, I think there's enough time for them to still have this feud, right? Because this isn't going to be something that happens immediately, right?
Yeah.
I think that for now, the gold remains with the Bullet Club and Omega and the Bucks and everything that they're doing, and that's the primary story that they're telling, but they've positioned this group to very easily be, like, just... I mean, I'm talking about within a 3-week period of time. Once they get to the right period, they could just go after all the gold and, you know, do the gang thing and everybody go out there and help each other win and all that shit. I totally see Pinnacle doing that, though, and that's why I foresee. Now, the only thing that doesn't flow there is a heel beating a heel. So.
Right, sure, I feel like you got to have a face worked in there somewhere. So
right. that's where Paige could easily be that guy, right? Like have someone like
the Dark Order. The Dark Order right now, they're the faces of the company right now. So that's why I legitimately think it's going to be the Dark Order.
What
you the think whole Dark Order? The entire Dark Order is
negative one. Why not negative one? Like who in the Dark Order is going to win the World Championship?
Give me 10. Preston 10 looks amazing. I would like to see John Silver with that title, man.
I think Ricky Starks. skyrocket soon. Ricky Starks, especially when they paired him with Paige, like that's their number one guy.
That was a
great showing. The match was awesome. So
all right, we didn't mention Orange Cassidy. Do you feel like his kind of run is slowing down his momentum a bit? What do you think?
No. I think it's all about the where he's involved. But I would put Orange Cassidy right in that same group of guys that they have. Made into stars. Like Orange Cassidy didn't need to be, he just needed to be televised. He just needed eyes on him. Mm-hmm. Orange Cassidy has always been an incredible performer and he's always done stuff that has made, indie fans just completely fall in love with him.
Yeah, you gravitate towards him instantly.
A couple more key wins.
Talking about my mic was off.
So here's someone who, oh, sorry, T. Here's someone who did not make an appearance who I really thought would and should have is Rich Swann. There's a match happening this week, I think, right? And Kenny Omega and Rich Swann are not on the show to talk about or to hype this matchup. I don't understand.
They're not going to do
that. Why not?
Because, I mean, the whole premise, if you've watched it, the whole premise is AEW has been fronting the bill on Impact, not the other way around.
Mm. Yeah. Like AEW's been helping Impact exist. AEW's been buying commercial time on Impact show to give them money to keep going. There's a weird story.
It's like WWE telling. Back in the day when they were keeping ECW afloat, but in a, yes. a storyline, not real life.
Yeah.
But this is storyline. This is not
exactly
actuality. Okay. Yeah. So
I don't know, is it?
What? I mean, it's kind of like the I feel like the narrative is like, well, you know, we're on TNT, Impact is on Twitch. You cannot afford ad time on TNT Impact. You know, that's kind of okay. how I've so translated
like,
it.
So they're just playing them. They're just hoeing these guys. for storyline. Yeah, it's just kayfabe, brother.
Yeah. I can't see like them actually taking the belt off Rich, though. Do you actually think they're going to give Kenny this title?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
That's crazy. That's so humiliating for
Here's Impact. The thing. Is it kind of reminds me of wrestling indie promotions that I've worked for. That I've been backstage, right? Well, no, they've brought people in to face the guy that I managed as champion, and every single one of them, I was like, yeah, they should totally throw the championship on that guy tonight. Like, I was like, you're bringing in, like, Warhorse, and you're not going to put the belt on him? Put the fucking belt on Warhorse.
I remember that night. I'm like, oh, he's a big draw. You don't want to give it to him. Chris Bay's never coming back.
They put it on Chris Bay, which I was like, yeah, that was like a good move too, right? Yeah. But
I mean, it was a good move.
I'm just saying, like, it does. Yeah, it feels different. If
you
want
your title to leave your company, then... You don't put it on the guy who comes in for one night.
Put it on the guy that's going to get a lot of attention on the company. That's the biggest thing. Yeah, Kenny Omega is one of the biggest draws in pro wrestling. I don't care what anybody says.
Honestly, do you think somebody's like who's not watching Impact? Like, they might, but I don't think anybody's be like, oh, Kenny Omega is now the part-time champion of Impact. I'm going to tune into their show on Tuesday. Hey,
yes,
or Thursday or whatever.
Yes, me.
Do you, Derek?
I used to watch Impact for years,
are you watching
and
now?
I stopped watching them. And now I watch it again because I want to see what's going to progress with this storyline. It feels like Impact, if I don't watch that, is you're missing part of the story.
Somebody brought up Miro in the chat about him being AEW champion.
Like Miro?
I can see him taking the TNT title before becoming...
He already announced that. He's like... Oh, which title am I going to take next? Maybe it's going to be you, Emo Face Paint Daddy.
Emo Face Paint Daddy. I like it.
I really like when Miro gave Kip's advice about not having your wife at ringside because it's not good.
It's never good for business.
Never good for business.
So speaking of not good for business and wife, someone brought this up. And about wives not being good for business. One person who is a wife who is good for business. Bianca Belair.
Woo! Now,
I had a friend suggest, and I got a little intrigued by the option. He said, "What if Montez Ford gets into like a Mark Miro kind of role?" Where he's jealous of her.
Oh, put your fedoras on, boys. God damn.
I do not like it because they're really married. Like, don't have people out there saying real things, and it could really like lead to some issues. I hate it.
That will kill his career.
I hate it. And it will kill his career.
It'll kill his career. Yeah. Mark Miro.
Montez will be done.
Done. Got power bombed. Mark Merrill got power bombed into obscurity by his wife.
the sable bomb heard around the world.
It would be great. If they would probably do the same thing that they're kind of doing with Miz and Morrison right now, which they would put Bianca between Montez
and Angela.
They would make her rising star split them up because he would be more about his wife than the team probably.
I think that's a really stupid idea just from the idea like of either. Splitting up the Street Profits. But I will say this, just again to play devil's advocate like we talked about earlier. I like that idea because it's a good storyline, right? I know that they always have to go with the route of breaking up the tag teams and figuring out some way for them to create animosity between the two of them. I just think that that's a realistic thing. Like Montez maybe getting so wrapped up in Bianca's career that he's not, you know, doing things that's beneficial for the Street Profits as a team that leads to them kind of, you know, splitting up. I just don't need that. I think my thing is I don't need these tag teams that they've done a fantastic job of cultivating, bringing together and, you know, making into a team always split up. You know, I do agree that Montez is the more talented one of the duo, for sure.
Who has the best frog splash in current day business?
Oh,
yeah. Rock Knowledge is in the building. What's up, Rock?
What up, Rock?
He's just enjoying the show.
Y'all was talking about some AEW bullshit, so I was just
You came in right after we talked about NXT.
Nobody told you to come an hour late. We went long on NXT.
But what are your thoughts on this? Do you think the Street Profits should be split up? Do you like that idea, or do you hate it?
Yeah, Rock.
What are they doing right now?
Exactly. Well,
nothing.
They just lost to the Dirty Dogs.
They're bowing down to the greatness that is Bianca and trying to win their tag championships back. But do you like the idea of splitting them up, or do you think that the Street Profits need to continue existing as a tag team?
I don't know, but I want to be as high as you are right now.
Oh, man. That is not answering the fucking question, James, at all.
Uncle Beak, you show him what's up.
That was hilarious. No, honestly, I think Montez and Bianca have the opportunity to be like the first male and female couple who are both champions that are credible. Like, you know, they have John Morrison
and Taya Valkyrie in Impact.
Yeah, but even more credible than that. No.
Mm.
Ooh. You know what I mean? Like, I like them, but Bianca's amazing.
Doesn't take much to be more credible than Impact these days.
I mean, hopefully they don't turn Bianca vindictive and make her be the one to split them up by putting shit in Montez's ear. Like, you don't need the tag title. You can go for the world title, you know, shit like that. And then
hopefully if that ever happens, it's well after she doesn't have the belt. So we don't have to deal with her having the title telling him, hey, you should ditch him. She doesn't need to deal with that stuff.
Did Andrade and Charlotte hold titles at the same time?
I think Andrade had the NXT title while she
but never like a on TV couple
on the same.
Right. Charlotte had the title when Andrade had her heart.
Seth and Becky at one time, I guess both had titles or something, but I don't want to see that. I definitely don't. I think, you know, Shawnica mentioned it too. Bianca is like the baby face of baby faces. There's like the only thing she could do to get a boo right now would probably be that, for her to be like, man, go out, get your own title. Leave me alone.
Like, you know? she's the epitome of like the back in the day term, white meat baby face. Like, she's just untouchable, like an angel. Like, she should be protected at all costs at this point.
Indeed. Oh, absolutely. So yeah, I can't see them really screwing this up, but that means that they're going to screw this up. Someone said we've already spoken into existence. Begun. So countdown. I just remember the classic Macho Man line of him saying, you know, I did a storyline with my wife. I ain't got no wife no more.
I ain't got no wife no more.
Like, that's it.
That's how it works, brother.
Don't involve your real life stuff on TV or it's over. So I feel like if that ever happened, it's a wrap. So
you may
I hope
not
that...
like it, but accept it.
Macho Man, that's a little rough. Hey, you don't know rough. That was nothing.
All right. So any other AEW notes? Let me think what else happened during this show. Christian Cage, Powerhouse Hobbs. I thought the match was okay. I like Christian selling for him a lot.
Yes, that's why I
felt like he did his thing. He made Hobbs look strong, but he beat him. So you know,
he did.
And
beat him.
Yes, we have to talk about Sheeta. The great match.
Excuse me, get his name right. It's Karate McFly, sir.
Jeez. No, that was on Kushida. The other show.
That's Kushida. Yeah. You're mixing up your Asian wrestlers, Rock. We did go into him. He had probably the best match of the week, I think. That Kushida match was fire.
Ty Conte versus Shida. What up?
He wrestled this week.
Yeah, against Oney Lorcan in a banger.
And he was more karate and less McFly this week.
Yeah, he had no shoes on.
That's stupid.
Yeah, he went full like MMA style. It was crazy.
Yeah, he didn't have his vest on.
Anytime I see a good women's match at AEW, I get excited. So I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to see. So I thought this match delivered for sure. I like the Britt Baker talking about the rankings and all that stuff. Like, I'm a big fan of them using the rankings in the storylines. So
yeah,
I need more mention of it all the time.
She had an image guy like just say, hey, if she wins, I need this one. But if she loses, let's just Photoshop this one. You know, something. Right. You know.
Right. I like how heavy they went with it early on with AEW, and then they've really backed off the rankings talk. Yes. And
we talk about it.
I would have said
I give them a lot of crap about it because the rankings to me don't mean squat. Like
they mean nothing. But I love them. I don't know why.
Miro being ranked number one for the longest and not get a title shot.
Yeah, not overall though.
One time.
And then they have guys like was overall. The number one guy got to face Ricky Starks this week, which, I mean, just randomly, like, where did Ricky Starks earn this opportunity to face the number one guy and get an opportunity?
How's that work?
Yeah.
Shout out to Marcos, who mentions that Christian is mentioning constantly that he does not want the world title to drill this into our head. Like, don't worry, guys. Don't worry. He doesn't want it.
He's not interested in it.
He doesn't even want it. He just wants to fight, guys.
A couple months later, he's gonna win that title. I think
suddenly he's gonna win it. You know, I think I want it. Dragon Master says a bold prediction here that Britt is gonna take the title from Shida, which I can see that Britt is very
high. I absolutely agree with that. I think that's a good
Britt is a hardcore legend. Of course, she's gonna take it.
Hardcore legend. she's super hot.
Like I still can't imagine being one of her patients at her dental.
Wait, is she still like actively a dentist?
I don't know, but I don't know. I imagine that like at least for 4 days a week she goes to practice dental, and then one day a week she trains, and then 2 days a week she kicks ass. That's
she's still schedule. Practicing.
I don't know.
No, Cap. The only thing she does now is cavity searches.
Oh, that's a terrible joke. Can we talk about the real star of AEW, which is Alex Abrahantes?
Man,
that fool got his flowers.
He has gone full heel. Like, he's wearing leather jackets and
full
shit.
Heel. I was like, this is too much.
He's like the shit out of.
I love how JR refuses to let it go. He's like, I don't know what Alex is so angry about. I'm like, yeah, you're right, JR. I mean, that dude has a chip on his shoulder, and he doesn't need to have one.
He should start making up shit that Penta's not even saying, and then Penta visually just hits him. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? I did not say that.
And then just Penta just looks at him like in disbelief.
Pentagon talks for like 10 seconds. Are you talking about
Pentagon's interpreter?
Yes,
his interpreter. Yeah,
he's like all up in it.
Say like three words, and then have him go off on a 90 second.
He said, "Your mother smells terrible."
Yo, mid match though, like in the middle of the match, going off on people.
Yeah,
he did that.
He's dope.
There was kind of a distraction finish with that match, but it was still funny. But next week he's gonna go it's gonna be Orange Cassidy versus Pentagon. So. And Alex insulted Sue, which you just never did.
Oh, you don't do that. You don't do that.
Penta says your mama sucks.
I don't think she won. He'll break her arm or pile drive her on the hood of the minivan.
Can you imagine just fucking popping shit off on Wednesdays and then going to work on Thursday at QVC and selling, some fryers and shit? Like, what a world that guy lives in. God bless you, Alex.
Wow, that's great. All right, so moving forward, I think, I mean, that's all the wrestling we've got for this week.
Yeah.
But
there's Rebellion this weekend.
There's Rebellion happening. There's an Impact pay-per-view. Kenny Omega will be on it. And let's just go around the room. I don't know the rest of the card, but I just want to see how many of you, show of hands, think Kenny Omega is leaving with the Impact title.
Oh, 100%.
You guys convinced me. You convinced me. Yeah.
I think it's happening. And this helps everybody. It helps Impact. It helps everybody. It helps Kenny. AEW. Yeah. So why not?
Like there has already been a press conference to show that if anybody, you know, wins this, whoever wins this title is going to represent both brands. It makes sense that, you know, you'll have Kenny Omega just go into overdrive. However, if you watch Impact this week, obviously the entire brand of Impact is behind Rich, and then Moose came out there and cut a really great promo, which was kind of like a tweener promo against Rich Swann. So it leaves a lot to the imagination.
Okay. So you feel like they could bring in a storyline where the whole company is trying to like stop this from happening. So this will be a super schmozzy type of finish, I'm guessing.
Yes. Because Moose even said it in his promo. He's like, the only thing that Kenny had that I didn't was three Goombas or three, you know, people in his corner, you know?
Some good brothers. That's what he did.
Good brothers.
So it's going to go back to my original statement. It's going to be some fuckery.
Some fuckery.
Hold on. Sorry, Rock, what was that?
So if it's a schmoz, you know, a schmoz finish, as you're saying, are you going to shit on them like you do WWE for their schmoz finishes?
Yes.
The only way out, really, for both companies to not look like goofballs. Really,
I think, but thinking about this is something where more is at stake than the average WWE pay-per-view, where it's two companies and they got to both look good. So,
I'll shit on it.
I mean, it's like one.
But if it's not good, it's not good. But
I'm going to shit on it 100% because I want Kenny to win.
Rock. You were talking to me and Megaran, who were present at the exploding barbed wire death match, and we shit all over that. What else can you do when you saw was sparklers come from the goddamn ring post? Like, yes, sometimes AEW overpromises and underdelivers. I think that this might be an occasion where this is just a necessity. Like, as much as in the great war of these two companies, this is a real blow to Impact. Yeah, and that puts Impact in the position of being the babyface promotion, right?
Tony Khan got all that money. He could just buy that promotion.
Tony Khan got the money. You got Omega coming in, stealing their heavyweight championship. Like, it helps everybody along. And honestly, Impact is kind of becoming like AEW's other show, kind of like their version of SmackDown in a way. They have their stars appear on there. They can keep doing this crossover stuff. And as long as it's beneficial to AEW getting their pretty large roster, more television time, while at the same time helping out Impact, it helps everybody. You got I don't see where the downside is.
Billionaire Tony Khan out there cashing checks.
Hey, yeah, I call him PK. He sends me DMs about wishing me happy birthday.
I'm never going to let that down.
So Kenny does. Let's say Kenny does take this belt. Does
Cam, how,
he eventually
how
actually drop it to somebody? How does he actually get it off him? Like, does he eventually just say, "I don't want this thing anymore"?
He fights.
Does he
Moose,
still have
maybe?
The AAA belt?
Yeah,
he's going to lose the Moose.
Right, so he has the AAA belt. He has the AEW belt, and then you have the Impact belt. So I think
and then he's going to have Moose's old TNA belt.
Old TNA belt.
So this is like another reason why Will Ospreay winning the belt from Kota Ibushi kind of dampers my whole vision I had on this, because obviously the next step after he won the Impact Championship was to go after New Japan and go to Kota. There's that personal connection. There would have been such a good story there told. And I don't know, maybe Ibushi wins it back before then, and maybe that's what we end
There's
up
still time.
Out. There's still plenty of time for that to happen.
But New Japan's doing some, you know, some weird things that I would say unexpected with booking as well. So it's, you never know. They could be like, all right, get it back to Kota. Let's make it happen. So who knows, man? I think I'm about ready to wrap up. We hit pretty much all the wrestling this week.
All the wrestles.
Okay, so I know you guys usually end the show with like winners of the week, or do you start the show with winners of the week?
Yeah, no, we end the show with that. So this is exactly the time we go around the horn. Sure, everybody's winners of the week. Doesn't matter what week. We've had 2 weeks since the last Steel Cage, 3 weeks. Shit, you can go back to WrestleMania, but let's hear everybody's winners of the week. Neo, let's start with you.
My winner of the week is Nick Jackson in his full Versace suit. It was amazing. I want that. I want that every week. I want Nick Jackson and Matt Jackson to wear all the flyest gear in the world.
Yeah, you just want them creasing them Jordans.
Yeah, don't you? That's you just it. Want them that's all I want.
Sneakerheads off, just making us angry with their fucking audacity and their lack of respect for the shoes they're wearing.
I want all the dangly earrings, all the Versace, all the Gucci on them. Why the hell not? I love heel bucks. Give me all that. Give me all them heel bucks.
That's like pretty great.
All right, Meg Rand, your winner of the week.
Sir. I'm gonna give the winner to Brennan Williams and Brennan Williams only as Dio Madden for finally getting to take off this stupid mask. And I hope that he's not still gonna have the name. Was he Mace? I don't know. Wheeljack?
Mason T-Bar.
Okay. Mason T-Bar. Yes, Mason T-Bar.
Mason T-Bar Esquire.
I'm just really happy to see that the stinky juice of this whole Retribution gimmick is finally fading away. And so, I'm happy to see that. And that's really it.
All right, Beak.
I'm going to go with something kind of heartwarming. My winner of the week is Ronda Rousey, who's expecting the child.
Oh, God bless his sperm for finally doing the job.
Bring a little wholesome content to the show.
That's beautiful. And I know that's something that's been a big part of her life that she'd be wearing. So congrats to them.
To her for finally getting that rear naked poke.
That's right, Rock.
Hey-o.
It was a Greco-Roman poke.
Well, Rock, let's hear your winner of the week.
Red Man and Method Man.
All right, versus.
Hey, the versus.
The Riddler, so I was happy that Method Man did the Riddler.
I'm so glad he did the Riddler. I love that song.
All right.
That might have been the coolest versus.
Was it just a concert? It was pretty much just
it was a concert. Yeah, I just missed concerts. Anyway. That's all.
I know. Let's all go to concerts. Get vaccinated. Let's go to concerts and wrestling shows. Teeth, your winner of the week.
The heel turn of Pentagon's interpreter.
Yes,
Alex Hernandez. Yes,
I loved it. I love it. He's great.
Oh man, wearing yellow jacket or leather jackets and shit. He was awesome. All right, I guess I will give my winner
as long as he doesn't turn on Pence and go into business for himself.
Yeah, no, that ain't happening. He knows. He knows. He knows where
Pentagon says he's giving me a raise.
Right.
He's just gonna start lying about stuff he said. Pentagon said your mom can suck my.
Right.
Suck my people.
I'm gonna continue my streak of giving my winner of the week to Roman Reigns because Roman Reigns is dope, and SmackDown was the better, obviously, of the two shows. But again, I was still kind of appalled by the WWE's lack of moves. I know that they did things like called Rhea Ripley up and things right before WrestleMania, but it didn't feel like the post WrestleMania season this year. We just didn't. I waited.
Very lackluster.
Oh man, I waited so long and we never got anything. You know, we got Charlotte returning. We got the Viking Raiders coming back, but we never got
Express
or
Viking Express Raiders experience. Viking, I don't know.
Roller coaster.
Nice. Those are our winners of the week. If you're in the chat or watching this or listening later, feel free to give us your winners of the week. Just hit us up on the socials at Matt Mania Podcast and at The Steel Cage. Send us over who you think are the winners. I see some good ones in the chat. I see Mount Westmore, which was dope during the Versus event. I'm glad nobody talked about Logan Paul.
No.
That's good. We he's escaped,
buried.
Buried we escaped him for a week. I guess I can give him the burial. And that's a little Matt Mania thing we do. And I'm going to bury Logan Paul, and not for the reasons you might think. I'm going to bury Logan Paul because Logan Paul...
He's got two first names.
One. Well, yeah. Reason. Logan Paul incited a I don't know if you call it a riot in Arizona here, and caused a bunch of damage that, in my
at
opinion,
an upscale bougie
at a very upscale fashion mall that that he knew would be, I think, blamed on, and that the repercussions would be targeted at people of color, dare I say. And he got out of that relatively scot-free, like he does everything he does. So, yeah, he gets buried for that for me.
It's a real fucking weird thing to me that WWE needs to try to attach their brand to
this asshole,
a YouTube star, right? Like, I mean, I understand that they're trying to find new revenues, new ways to build a new fan base, new ways to attract fans that they normally wouldn't attract, right? So going the social media route, going to somebody that's a YouTube star, doesn't surprise me at all. It just surprises me that this is the YouTube star they chose. Meanwhile, AEW is dipping into the WWE, you know, playbook from like 15, 20 years ago and going with Shaq, Snoop Dogg, and Tyson. And I respect that way more than Logan Paul, right? Or Jake Paul, right, or any of these assholes any that they them. Bring back. You know,
well, the other thing
at least, at least Shaq could wrestle his ass off.
And at least you have these wrestlers able to use their own other platforms, like their own Twitch and their own other channels and things like that. So you got to give it up to that. At least they can able to do that too.
Well, and I get what WWE is doing at times, right? Like, I understand that they're trying to reach a different demographic than their typical viewer. It just, you know, it's the same thing. I guess we're complaining about Jake Paul in the same way that people like Meltzer are talking about Bad Bunny, where they don't get it, right? Like, Jake Paul, though, just to me seems like, publicity-wise, a negative kind of star to attach this, you know,
right,
media conglomerate too, whereas Bad Bunny makes all the sense in the world, right? He's just
Logan Paul, Latino, by the way, but not
Logan Paul.
We were talking about, sorry. I'm talking about the guy who boxed this last weekend, by the way.
I apologize.
For the record,
you're talking about his brother.
Took the stunner at right. WrestleMania, but right. We don't really need to be talking about either one of them. They're both terrible. But anyway, so we were talking about Logan Paul. Jake Paul had the whatever. So anyway, the pause can probably go away. But I know who shouldn't except go Chris away. Paul. That is except Chris Paul. Chris Paul is cool. And also, well, yeah, Chris Rock Paul. Knowledge, yeah. I have to ask you, sir, do you have a snack of the week for this week?
Sure. I'm going to go with Maurice Mizanin.
Hey! I guess married folk are fair game, right?
I was actually expecting a delicious snack, not an actual human being. I was like, what tasty treat will he be recommending? I'm excited.
Reese is pretty tasty, my friend.
Yeah,
there you go. Reese.
That's a little bit of the Matt Mania charm right there.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I like it. All right. So I think that is it for the time being. Oh, wait, we have a recommendation from the crowd, which Teek's in the chat.
She's been snack of the week before.
I think
she could be
a snack of the week in the NXT.
Oh yeah, I think she's, I do agree. She's a previous snack winner. Yep. Absolutely. If we were going to pick, Bears, I totally agree. If we're going to pick an actual edible snack, Popcorners Kettle Corn, which I really love. Those things are banging. I just got a huge bag from Costco. And I don't know if I can eat them right now with my teeth.
Never.
But
nope.
I'll figure it out.
You better puree them motherfuckers and drink it through a straw. You better put it in one of those weed grinders and just smoke it.
I'm scared. Yeah, I'm scared to try. So not right now. The dentist did say, like, hey, go ahead and eat regular stuff. Go get used to them. And I'm like, yeah, man.
Not yet.
popcorn smoothies, it is. That is what's gonna happen. So right now I got a whole bag that I can't touch. So shout out to Purple Urkel for making the return in the suit. I just want to talk about Triller for putting on very entertaining pay-per-view content. Like, whether, I love the presentation. Like, I can't front, man. Like, it's good presentation.
It's good, it's but just, they really need to combine a versus with a fight card. That needs to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to happen. With Triller having both now, it's going to happen.
Because here's the problem. To get like an ill versus and then get like three or four fights after or in between. And make sure Snoop's on commentary. That's a requirement.
Snoop has to be on commentary. That's a requirement. Just have real fights, though. Just have people really fighting. Like, there you go. Don't try to predetermine the outcome of the fight. Just have the fights be real fights. That's all.
Predetermine outcomes?
I mean, we just spent an hour and a half talking about predetermined.
I like my sugar.
He likes it when they're honest about it. When they're honest about it, then it's okay.
They got to be honest.
I would have booked Ben Askren over one of the Paul. Was it Jake Paul? Logan Paul?
Jake
Paul.
That was Jake who knocked that guy out.
Jake Paul in the fight.
Punched in the face. I would take $500,000 to get punched in the face by Logan Paul.
He made slightly just less than the guy that won the fight. So yes, I would.
What about getting punched in the face by Mike Tyson because somebody got knocked out on AEW by him?
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're talking.
That's a completely different thing.
Fighter. I don't want to get looked at the wrong way by Mike Tyson.
I don't want to get chopped by Ugg again, let alone
Neo, who got knocked out by him on AEW.
It was Cash.
Yeah, Wheeler.
Mike Tyson didn't throw a work punch. He hit him square on the jaw.
It looked pretty mean for sure.
I mean, it looked good. It looked great. I don't know. I wouldn't take that punch. I don't know. I'm good.
Not even kayfabe.
I'm saying that dude got paid less than the dude who got knocked out by Logan Paul.
Mm-hmm. Jake Correct. Paul, by the way, but who cares?
The Paul.
The Paul. One of the Paul brothers.
The Paul. That's it. And that's not Chris Paul. All right. So that's Paul and that's between y'all. So at this point, we're about to get up out of here. Thank you for watching and listening. Wherever you get your podcast from, we appreciate it. Please give us all the stars on the apps and go to the Mad Mania Patreon. We actually, I believe, have a Patreon episode that we're going to do next. So if y'all want to stick around for like 10 minutes, we can do that. I don't know. B, Cap, what do you guys think?
I have nothing going on in my life. So yeah, let's keep talking wrestling.
I can tell by your eyes, buddy.
I'm sick of your accusations, Rock.
It's like, I don't have to take these wild allegations.
Sorry, I'm just in a bad mood tonight. That's all.
Is everybody watching Mortal Kombat?
No, it's like Taz. The mood changes when Rock's in a bad mood.
To answer your question, Tegan, I'm trying to watch that after I get off this.
Rock is an ethnicity, and he's not just an Italian dude that we all thought it was Samoan or half black. That's the big difference there.
We got to talk about that. How we all thought Taz was black. We'll talk about that on the Patreon.
Burn Sienna.
Yo,
he's just a really tanned Italian dude. That's all he is.
Very, very dark, yo.
I thought Mark Guerrero was black when I think what did he do back in the day?
Really? Mark Guerrero? Yes, me
too. He was doing the fucking Little Richard gimmick. Yeah.
Yes.
Then he came to WWE. I'm like, oh, shit, he is not. Okay.
Glad I'm not the only one.
He was dark. He was really tanned. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I think one of the reasons. One of the reasons that we also thought Taz was black was because Italians from the hood talk just like fucking black dudes. Like, they're racist as fuck. They talk their hood, they slang, all that shit. Like, so him being aggressive and hella tan just made me think that he was a black New Yorker.
He was just Brooklyn. That's what it was. Yeah, so, like, we really thought, like, okay, because he's super Brooklyn.
He's got to be Puerto Rican.
We are going to head on to the Patreon show, which is happening right here, so you don't even have to go anywhere. I just have to do our official closing. So, as always, if you are listening to us, we appreciate you. Thank you. Please follow us on all the socials and get on that Patreon and pay that money. It is at this time that I give you our snappy closing, which is, remember, to always keep your shoulders off the mat.
Hey, peace! And remember, kids, I love it when you call me Big Papa John.
Oh, God.
Papa John.
And we're out. Got the papers and the trash. Or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yakety yak.
Don't talk back.
Just finish cleaning up your room.